Maybe the story that we just heard from Matthew 25 has become just a little bit too familiar. Maybe it's become just another way to make people feel like they haven't done enough for God. Maybe we've forgotten what's important in this story. So let's begin by reminding ourselves briefly of the context of that parable. In the Bible, a parable is a story with a deeper meaning. This parable is told in the context of two other stories. Matthew 25 begins and ends with stories. Begins with Jesus telling the parable of the 10 bridesmaids. 5 that are prepared with extra oil for their lamps, and 5 that aren't. And the chapter ends, after the story of the talents, with Jesus telling about people who did or did not do things for the hungry, for the thirsty, those in need of shelter and clothing, the sick and prisoners. And Jesus calls them either sheep or goats, inviting sheep to take their inheritance. And in both of those stories, the story of the bridesmaids and the lamps, as well as the story of the people who are called sheep or goats because of what they do for the underprivileged, both of them are about being prepared. For when a bridegroom actually returns, for when the Son of Man comes again in all of his glory. And this parable, too, is about being prepared for the return of a master. And the clue to this story really is this: the relationship between this master who promises to return and the relationship this master has with the servants. And so who are the servants and their master? For people who have heard this story so many times, it can be maybe a bit too easy to just say, well, Jesus is the master and we are the servants. And we're good if we're like the first two servants, and we're bad if we're like the servant who buries the talents. But when we too quickly identify who is who, we miss parts of the story that might just be important. Remember the clue, the relationship between the master and the servants. It's about a master who leaves and promises to return. There's something convincing about this master. Leaving, but promising to return. It's about a master with a lot of property. Seems to have a large estate or a kingdom with plenty of servants and work to be done and things to be taken care of. And those servants each have different abilities. And this master seems to know those servants really well. Understands them deeply, cares for them, knows what they're capable of. The servants are cared for and trusted so much by their master that they're actually entrusted with shares of the estate until this master returns from that long journey. And the story says that each one of them is given a certain amount of talents. And then what happens to these talents? How do the servants use them? The first servant puts the 5 talents to work, according to verse 16, at once. Doesn't delay, knowing no matter when the master returns, time was short. Time is valuable. And the second does the same with those 2 talents. Both the first and second servants say that these talents were entrusted to them. That's where we get the word stewardship. Stewardship means that what we have isn't ours alone, but it's entrusted to us. And when we think of stewardship, we ought to think not only of the money that we have and how we give it and how we use it, but also the time that we have and also the gifts that we have, the skills, the talents that we are given. And when the master returns, the response to both of those servants who used those talents, what was entrusted to them, used them well, the master's response to each of them is identical. Enter into the joy of your master. But the third servant buries his talent. This one says that because he knew the master was a hard man, harvesting even where he hadn't sown and gathered where he hadn't scattered seed, that he had a harsh view of this master. And we might add a pretty dim view of himself. And of course, the master responds to this servant differently. Says, first of all, "So you knew? You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I do not scatter?" And the way this sentence is phrased in the original Greek language in the New Testament, it's saying, "You knew this, but this isn't really who I am. I don't do that. I'm not a harsh master." And this master says, "You should have put my money, if that's what you think of me, you should have at least put my money with the bankers." And the word for bankers here is equivalent to fraudsters or crooks. And the master is saying, they could have done even better. The master saying, "So that's what you think of me? Is that really what kind of a master you think I am?" And in this story, of course, the master is far from how that third servant considers him. The master's generous, knows his servants, gives each one, and trusts to each one to be able to use their talents. So let's interpret what talents means. The master is generous in entrusting his estate, like God is generous in entrusting us in his creation. While many of us want to do with this ancient, what many of us want to do with this ancient parable is modernize what the story is talking about, that talent. And we will ask each other, well, what exactly is this talent? Is it an amount of money or some special skill set or gift? It's a natural question, and most of the time, trying to tease out an exact modern equivalent of what an ancient document is talking about seems like the right thing to do. And with the Bible especially, it seems like that's the best way to find spiritual truth. But not quite so with this parable of the master who leaves on a journey and gives three servants, various amounts of talents. In the world where Jesus tells this story, a talent definitely was a large amount of money. From Revelation 16, we know that a talent was not only money, but it was also a significant measure of weight. From another parable in Matthew chapter 18, we know that a talent was a large sum of money. A lot of money, like more than a year's wages. In this parable, a talent was part of the estate. It was a weighty amount. It was a large responsibility. Put into perspective, it was like winning a modest lottery. It was more than enough cash. if they played their cards right, if they used their money well, to give some leverage to someone significantly to change their lot in life. Now remember, when Jesus is telling this parable, Jesus is talking about and in a world where there were masters and servants and all kinds of social and economic castes or boxes into which people would pretty much be stuck for the rest of their lives because of the family and the social circumstances that they were born into. Into these conditions, Jesus tells this story of one servant winning that lottery and another of winning that lottery twice and a third servant getting a windfall equivalent to 5 years of a standard annual wage. That's a lot of money. The talents Jesus talks about in the story are equal to cash, though what the master is giving these servants are not small tokens of money. And with that in mind, many people have suggested over the years that Jesus could not possibly here be talking in this story only about money. As if the spiritual lesson of this story is about smart investment strategies or how to get rich quick. That can't be just what Jesus is talking about. And so the line of thought in Christian history is this: this story must be some kind of an allegory where something secular in the story, money, is designed simply to stand for and represent some spiritual truth. And over the years, the talent has been understood to represent our spiritual gifts. Where talent or skill that people are called to use, and specifically in this story's lesson, how to make best use of that talent for your life. And here we need to caution, because that talent is not just about how you can use it in the church. I think that can be partly true. And people wonderfully use their gifts and their skills within the life of the church. But it really is, it seems to me, a much weightier matter than what special talent or skill we can use to volunteer, and then giving that parable such a narrow scope of even how we use that talent just within the church. It seems to me that this parable is talking about our calling, our life's calling. How God gives each one of us unique skills and abilities, and God knows what those abilities and those skills and those talents are. And how the master on the journey in this story is how God will call each one of us also to give an account of how we have done the best with what God has called us to be and what He's given us. How we have invested our talents, whether with our job or with our volunteering, but not just for the church, but for the wider purposes of God's kingdom. Similar to the story in my pastoral perspective column for today in your bulletins, I'll always remember when I first became a minister at a meeting of clergy in Alberta. All of us around the table were invited to share something positive that was going on in our churches. And I was thankful not to be first to speak because I wanted to think of something pretty impressive and exciting about the church where I was. And sure enough, turn after turn, that seemed to be what was going on. Each minister brought forward brought to mind and to the table the most exciting thing that was going on in their church. Until the Anglican minister, her turn just before me, began by saying, "Right now we don't have too many events happening at our church, but there's a number of us who volunteer at the soup kitchen downtown. Some others help out regularly at the food bank. There's two members of our church who have just recently been elected to city council. A group from our church are weekly at the youth drop-in center downtown." And she went on in really an unassuming way, giving quite an impressive list of how people in her little Anglican church were using their talents. Not first of all just for the church, but in the community. And it seems to me those are all ways the master will respond. "Well done, good and faithful servant." In short, somewhere I read this simple definition of a talent. A talent is whatever the Lord gives us now and will ask us about later. Think about that. We all receive talents from our master. Which ones has God given you and will be asking about later? Amen.